Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, May 10th, 2021, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the major themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. So, good morning, Derek. And what should we be looking out for this week?
Good morning, Una. I think we've had a fairly big move in the 10-year US Treasury yield on Friday. And that followed, of course, the much, much weaker than expected non-farm payrolls released in the US. The drop, we had a 10 basis point drop in 10-year yields, but there's been, you know, pretty much a complete rejection of that drop. And the 10-year rebounded on Friday, actually finished up slightly higher and is up a little bit further again today. So despite that much, much weaker than expected print on jobs, the 10-year Treasury yield is, as I said, a little bit higher. So that's really important for this week because, it's clear that the markets don't buy the idea that the economy is weak based on the payrolls report, which is exactly right. Demand for labor is going through the roof when you look at other measures. So it's clearly supply related. The benefit, the unemployment benefit, extra $300 a week, that's possibly curtailing people. Cautious people on the virus who don't want to go back into the economy. Childcare issues, certain schools still closed. All of those kind of issues could be having an impact. And the markets have concluded that those will fade as we move forward, and that the demand side means that there's big job gains coming, which I think is bang on correct. So from an FX perspective, I think our view is that the takeaway from last week isn't that anything profoundly different is ahead of us. We're still in the same situation. But just at the margin, the prospects of, say, for example, the Fed moving forward the timing of tapering, or the Fed being more hawkish than expected, at the margin, that's a little bit less. And even though it was supply-related issues resulting in the weaker jobs gains on Friday, the reasoning for caution is there based on what the Fed have been telling us. And that's reflected not in the 10-year, as I said, has jumped back up and is higher today than it was on Friday, but in the short end of the curve. And if you look at, say, for example, the December 2022 Fed funds future, the implied rate there has dropped about 12, 13 basis points from the beginning of April. And it dropped, I think, about 5 basis points on Friday. Now, that'll possibly come back a little bit today. But at the margin, the short end of the curve, the expectations have kind of pushed out a little bit in terms of the timing of that that first Fed rate increase. And therefore, the mix is very much telling us that the curve could steepen further, basically, from here. And I think as long as the short end of the yield curve remains well anchored, rising 10-year yields, as long as it's not abrupt, of course, I think fits with the dollar remaining on a weaker footing. And I think that's really what we would be looking at this week. Now, there are risks, and we need to, if we get an abrupt move on the 10-year, that could certainly unsettle the markets and result in some dollar buying. We've got the inflation data, the CPI report on Wednesday. We're going to get a big, big jump in the annual core CPI rate, up to possibly 2.3% from 1.6%. So, I think the markets are braced for that. We've also got a lot of supplies. We've got a 3-year, $58 billion worth of 3-year, $41 billion worth of 10-year, and $27 billion worth of 30-year paper. So, fairly chunky supply this week. So that's going to put some upper pressure on yields as well. But as I said, I think the takeaway from last week is that, the Fed's stance has been endorsed somewhat, And therefore, we could see a steeper yield curve. And in our sense, that will keep the US dollar on a weaker footing.
And is there anything else we should look out for as this week unfolds, Derek?
Well, we had the elections in the UK last week. And when those results came out over the weekend, when we look at the G10 FX space today, the pound is the currency that is outperforming. And we think over the short term, this is something that could have further to go. On the election outcome, which I think is partly what the markets are responding to today, yes, we did get the SNP in Scotland winning the most seats, but actually one short of an outright majority. But of course, combined with the Green Party, the 64 SNP seats become 72 with the Greens, so they do have an overall majority in the 129 seat parliament in Scotland. So the kind of the basis for pushing for another referendum on Scottish independence is there. But the kind of backdrop here is we did have an interview from Nicola Sturgeon on the BBC over the weekend, and she made it clear that the focus for now, of course, is on the pandemic. It's getting out of the pandemic. It's reversing the lockdowns and seeing that through until it's completely removed as a risk. And the indications from Nicola Sturgeon in questions that were asked to her yesterday is that, you know, the earliest scenario for shifting the focus onto the Scottish referendum is spring of 2022. That's when potentially you could get legislation being brought to Parliament in Scotland on another referendum. And then, of course, it would be down to whether or not London would legally challenge that or accept the democratic process, as Nicola Sturgeon would call it. So I guess the takeaway here is we're at least probably 12 months away from this becoming a focus. And while risk premium can be built into FX over time, in terms of this becoming an issue of imminent here and now volatility in FX, it's that time frame away. It's a year away. And I think for now, the markets can shift away from that as being a focus. And in that sense, as we can see today, the markets are happy to come back in and start buying the pound again. The pound quarter to date is the second worst performing G10 currency. So we do see the scope for some catch up. And the other big event last week was the Bank of England's monetary policy report. And despite upgrading GDP from 5% to 7.25%, the projections for inflation relative to February were actually slightly lower. And that, I think, will help contain, you know, any kind of sudden shift in expectations about monetary policy. But of course, the Bank of England did taper QE, although, you know, it's a fixed amount and therefore it's less significant. And then, you know, they made some supply side assumptions in terms of GDP that brought this conclusion of inflation being weaker than it was in February based on 5% GDP growth. And I just think over time, the markets can possibly start to question that, especially if, as we expect, we're going to get stellar economic data coming from the UK over the next month or two. So I just think that underperformance that we've had is kind of pointing to scope for some catch-up as the economic data comes out and perhaps the markets start to question the dovishness in terms of the forecasts that were released last week from the Bank of England. We're quite bullish short term on the pound. We think it has further upside to go.
And finally, Derek, what trade ideas are your research desk highlighting this week?
But we're still short the US dollar. You know, we're still looking at the global reflation trade as being valid. Commodity prices are still moving sharply higher. That kind of recycle out of US dollars into non-dollar currencies, we think there's more to go. Terms of trade attraction in currencies like Aussie, Kiwi and CAD, Nokia, still all valid, I think, for the US dollar to weaken. So we still have long Australian dollar versus the US dollar. We're actually quite close to reaching our profit target on that trade. Also short US dollar versus Czech koruna. And then we've added short US dollar versus the Russian ruble. Now, admittedly, that's a riskier trade than the other two that we're holding at the moment. But again, we just think, this short-term outlook for crude oil prices is pretty good. Then on top of that, you've had the central bank in Russia tightening its monetary stance more actively than other central banks in the emerging market space. And while you do have those kind of specific Russian-related risks, in particular, US-Russia bilateral trade relations and political relations, I should say. We just think, again, there's scope for the ruble to catch up. It has underperformed because of these specific risk factors. And given the broader favorable outlook, we think the ruble can outperform. So, of course, as I said at the beginning, you know, US yield, the rejection of that drop in the 10-year on Friday, you know, the risk there is the US yields jump more abruptly, and that could mean that trade would suffer. But generally speaking, the broader framework is positive for a period of Russian ruble outperformance.
Thanks very much for that insight, Derek. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you soon.
And you, Una. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.